listening to Georgia's national anthem, as in European Georgia, not the state of Georgia. This is BBS Radio, and you're listening to a special edition of Vocal Profiling Live. This is Sherry Edwards, your host. I'm here with Tall Blonde Heather. And for the next hour, we're going to do a special presentation that we call People to People. 2 weeks ago, we did an analysis of George Bush about the attack of Georgia by Russia. 1 week ago, we did vocal prints of presidential hopefuls McCain and Obama and their take on Russia's attack on the sovereign country of Georgia. Today, we're going to bring you information straight from the people of Georgia because we don't trust our own media to tell the truth. A couple of Georgia students, Tanika and David, are going to be with us, and Tanika posted a very poignant video on YouTube. We want to play that for you now. It's only about 4 minutes long, and then we're going to ask them questions about what's really happening in Georgia. So this is going to be straight from the people of Georgia to the people of BBS Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is report from Georgia, Tbilisi, the capital of Georgia, and we want to express our feelings, thoughts, and concerns about the very tense situation in South Ossetia and in whole Georgia, and talk about the war with beginning with South Ossetia and then with Russia. First of all, what I want to underline is that right now we're under attack. Their air force, of the Russian air force, is flying above the Tbilisi, and the tanks and other military forces are approaching our capital, trying to take control of the whole Georgia. First of all, I want to go into the details and talk about the Russian expansion during the four centuries, because this might be the last chance that we have to express our feelings about it. Russia has been trying to take control of the Georgia for four centuries. We have been resisting in every way that we can. Russia right now is continuing the policies and politics of the Soviet Union, trying to take control of the whole region in Caucasus, including Georgia, Armenia, Azerbaijan, and so on. Right now, we are under attack of the Russian forces, and we want to give you the information as we see it, as we witness it, because the Russian sources that you get information from mainly are telling the lies, and they are not informing you in the correct way. South Ossetia and Abkhazia are part of Georgia, and this has been known to every nation of the world, and this has been supported by the all nations of the UN, US, and many other countries all around the world. The conflict in South Ossetia began 4 days ago when we had to respond to the aggression from South Ossetian side and had to go into the South Ossetia in order to protect the people, the Georgian citizens, ourselves from the separatist region and to regain control in South Ossetia and force Russian forces and separatists out of the place. However, since that point, Russia has been starting a aggression and a violence against Georgia. They have been bombarding during these 4 days. There have been airstrikes all over the Georgia, including, and they have been mainly targeting the civilians living in Gori, living in Poti. They have been bombarding places like that are really important to our economy, pipeline, for example, and ports. For example, many civilians have been killed by the air bombards and by air attacks from the Russian side. These 4 days have been really crucial, and lots of people, including military, non-military, civilians, women, children, have been killed during this time. The only response and the only way out of this tense situation that we see is active involvement of the international community, of the United Nations. We hope that all the countries around, like Ukraine, Estonia, Lithuania, and so on, will help us to fight the Russian aggression. Or else we can see the same as it was during the Soviet Union, when Russians tried to occupy the whole Europe. The Russians have the same aims and same politics as they had all over, starting from Soviet Union and even before Soviet Union, trying to eliminate everything that stands against their aggression and their military and their militaristic policies. We want to tell you that we will not give up. We will fight all as we can, and we will fight until the last drop of our blood. However, the forces are very unequal, and we do hope for the international assistance and in help in this conflict. So please, if you can distribute this video to everyone that you can, and help our country to stand and fight for its freedom and fight for the democracy against the Russian tyranny, please do so. We don't want to be the part of the Soviet Union again. Thank you for your attention.
So, Nika, that was wonderful. Heather, what is the link where people can watch that?
If they just go to YouTube.com, they can search for that directly under Georgia Under Attack.
Georgia Under Attack.
And there's 10 parts, I believe.
10 parts to it. Tanika and David, when was this video done?
I'm sorry?
David, when was this video posted that we just heard?
This was shot about 1 week ago, about 7 or 6 days ago. And at that time, the situation was much more intense and critical than it is right now.
And have you done follow-up videos that people could watch?
Nope, I think this is the only one that we have recorded since.
Heather tells me that when she did a search, there was about 10 other videos. Have you watched those, or do you know about them?
Yes, we did. We did watch the video response and other videos that are on the YouTube regarding this crisis, and there are a lot of comments made by the people, and it's really important that people, after you look at my video, there you go through all the rest and take a look what people say and what people think.
Are all of them true? Are all of them accurate?
Yes.
Just so we can get a handle on this, what's the population of Georgia?
4.5 million. It's about 4 million and a half.
4.5 million, and what's the population of Russia in comparison? How much?
I don't have the exact numbers, but it's much bigger. It's, I think, third country with the number of the population in the world, checking the information right now.
And geographically, can you compare the size of Georgia with the size of Russia?
Yes, I could. To compare, it's a small island like Hawaii compared to the United States.
Wow. Well, can you tell us when you first heard about this issue, you first heard about the attacks, just tell me from a citizen's perspective how this all developed.
From our perspective, as we know, our government tried to regain control in the remote regions of Azeria, that is right next to the border of Russia, and try to get the separatists and out of our territory. However, the things went wrong when Russian army and military force moved in, and they aided the separatists and they resisted the Georgian army over there. And since then, the conflict has been going on. The 13th day of the war and of the fighting. However, we and Russia did sign the agreement for the ceasefire, and right now there is no fighting with the arms going on, even though there is some loitering and robbery and all kind of bad things happening because of the Russian troops are on the territory of our country.
So Russia was trying to help a small faction of like bandits take over an area in your country?
The conflict dates back to 1992, to be honest, when Georgia and with other nations like Estonia, Lithuania, Ukraine, and Bulgaria wanted to break away from the Soviet Union and did break away from the Soviet Union in the early 1990s. And at that time, with the help of the Russian government, some remote regions of our country were separated from us, and we do not control the regions of South Ossetia and Abkhazia right now. And this is because the Russian government and the so-called governments of these small regions cooperate with each other and do not let Georgian troops and Georgian military, Georgian police to get over there and to protect its own citizens and to defend its own country and its own borders. So basically, this is not about the conflict between us and the South Ossetia, but that is really, really small. It's like fourth of the New York, let's say. It's really small, and it's not the conflict between Georgia and South Ossetia. It's conflict between Russian and Georgia.
Well, what's the incentive to control that area? Is it incredibly valuable? Is there something there?
I don't think it's incredibly valuable, but however, it is still part of our country, and we do want to keep those small but really important places with us and don't let Russians or any other nations to control those pieces, because we're really small country and we can't afford to lose any more territory as we did in 1980.
Well, what we're being told here in the U.S. is that the fight is over a pipeline that's there, and they don't want Russia to have any control over the energy outflow from the area. Is that what...
That is true. We currently are now, Georgian government is planning to put a pipeline through Georgia, going from Baku and from Iran to go to Europe and to supply Europe with the natural gas and with other resources. However, if that happens, Russia will lose its control over the Europe because nowadays, Russia gives about 90% of the natural gas to the Europe, and Europe can't really stand and resist anything that the Russian government does, because if they do, they will be left without the natural gas, and that's really important, because Russians are trying to get hold of our region to prevent this happening. If we will manage to put this pipeline through and can bring natural oil from Baku and from Western Asia to go to the Europe, then it will be a really good weapon in hands of our country, and this will be a really big blow to the Russian economy.
Okay, this is to both Tanika and David. From your individual perspectives, what's the situation you're living under now? Is there still bombing going on? Our president just announced that there are people being taken out in groups and slaughtered.
Yes, the Georgian army cannot do anything right now because we signed a ceasefire, and as you know, French President Nicolas Sarkozy visited Georgian capital Tbilisi and then went to Moscow, and both of these sides signed the ceasefire agreement, due to which Air Force and all kind of militaries have to return to their positions as they were at 6th of August. However, this has not happened since, and right now Russian troops are controlling most of the parts of our country, and they're standing in the towns with the heavy military, with the tanks and other military forces, controlling the police stations and town centers, and are not letting in or out lots of civilians. They're taking away and looting anything that they can, anything that can they can grab and take home, and they are not treating our people as they should be, even and especially when they are on our territory. They have, as far as we know, Russians have bombed five or six cities right now, and there have been a huge civilian casualties over there, and lots of people are left homeless and moved into Tbilisi. There are some 30,000 people that moved from the conflict regions to our town and there are lots of people living in the schools and in other government facilities and are provided with the foods and with the resources by the government and by the community over here. They do need to get back to their homes, and this will be only possible only if Russians will withdraw their troops from our territory that they said to do due to the ceasefire document that they signed at the 10th of August. And we hope that they will leave our country as soon as it's possible with the help of international organizations and with the active involvement of the NATO, EU, and other bodies that can help us to fight with the Russian aggression.
So even though they have signed a ceasefire, they're still occupying your country. And they're still...
Yes, they are. That's correct.
And they're still looting and they're still killing.
As far as I know, we have not heard any facts of Russians right now killing for these 2 days. But before this, when there was no ceasefire, they have been killing and murdering a lot of people, especially with the airstrikes that have been made all around our country and in multiple places. They have been aiming especially to the places really important to our economy, such as pipelines, ports, and so on. And however, some of the civilian houses have been destroyed by this, and so lots of people have died during the bombardment.
So they are they targeting specific things, or are they just bombing you indiscriminately? I mean, are they bombing hospitals and schools?
They were bombing indiscriminately during the first days of the conflict. However, right now there is no bombing from the Air Force going on. It's only people, and armies standing here with the heavy equipment. And one thing that we want to underline is that they have burned down the really big territory of the wood in our country, and this has been burning for 2 days. And we asked for help from the Turkish government and from other neighboring governments to help us to fight with the fire that Russians have set in the woods.
The first couple of days, what was it like for the citizens to be under this kind of, was this a totally surprise attack?
Well, I think it was a complete shock for the first couple of days when the Russians started to move in our country, and we have been bombed from every half an hour, and all the major towns in our country has been bombed by the Russian Air Force, even though we did manage to drop down some 4 or 5 aircraft of the Russians. However, the city was paralyzed, and all the shops and all the commercial places were closed down, and this was really big blow to our economy, and people started moving out from the big cities and going to the small towns and go into the villages and the countryside to go away from the regions that Russians might have bombed in the first place. In the last day, at the day that I recorded my YouTube video, there were 50 aircraft flying over our town and threatening to bomb our main city, our capital, if our president would not resign from this position. And the situation at that point was really... really, really bad, and people were running away, and they were buying everything that they could in the magazine, and there was nothing left in the shops at all, no resources, nothing at all, and people were moving out of the city, and it was complete disorder at that time. However, it has settled things, and now it's pretty, I can say it's calm, but I can say that it's more stable, and there is no panic going on right now in the capital of Georgia.
Okay, well, one of the things that our news media has indicated is that this is only in one small part of Georgia, but you're telling us the truth that it is all over Georgia, every town.
Yes, even though Russians are saying, and the Russian government is saying that they are peacekeepers, and only aim that they have is to keep peace and not to allow Georgian army to attack Ossetia once again, they are pretty much in control of the whole Georgia, going to the every city that they can and taking control of this, every city that is far, far away from the conflict region and has nothing to do with the peacekeeping and has completely different aims. I don't understand how bombing ports and drowning our ships can be in response to keeping peace. This is completely different things.
Well, we agree with you that this is crazy, but the people of the U.S. can't do anything, I don't think. Is there something that we can do to help?
Well, the people of the United States can take their support through the internet and through other resources that they can. However, the main thing that we try to achieve is international commitment to for solving this problem. And if the citizens of every other nation will force and will demand their countries and their governments to help our country fight with the Russian aggression, then I think they will help us out in this fight, because Russians will not stop. This has been happened lots of times before. If you take a look at the history, they have entered in many other cities like Lithuania, Ukraine, in Czech Republic, in the same fashion and in the same way. And because of the reluctance of the governments of their of the really big nations to help out this problem and to solve the problem, it escalated really bad, and we ended up having the Soviet Union that we really don't want to be part of once again, and we try to escape and we try to solve this problem with the help of international community.
Tanika, have you gotten any flack about your YouTube presentation, or have you gotten any response from it?
I'm sorry, do I have what?
Did you get in any trouble for doing the YouTube presentation?
No, not at all. No trouble. I have not received anything, any threats or anything else. It's just the comments from the Russian citizens. I mean, aggressive comments towards us and towards our governments and towards our policies. And that's all. We have not been in any trouble for making this video. It's simply freedom of the speech over here.
So does your people have the ability to speak out freely and express their opinion without becoming a target?
Yes, they do. There is no pressure from either our government or from any other body in our country. We can speak out freely about any political view that we hold and anything that we want to say. I haven't seen anybody having problem with this.
Okay, so it's fine that we release this to the international audience.
Yes, I believe it's fine. No problem.
Who and how do you think the ceasefire came about? Who facilitated it? How did it happen?
Well, the ceasefire, as far as I know, was initiated by our government, and then with the help of the French government, mainly Nicolas Sarkozy, the president of France, who was first to visit Tbilisi and then go to Moscow. The first draft of the ceasefire document was made. And then after multiple presidents and important people went to the both countries and negotiated the peace, the final ceasefire document was signed. Even though this document doesn't seem to work, as you can see, Russian troops are still in our country and are not going away. And we hope that it will continue in the same fashion, and governments of France and other nations will insist on Russia to fulfill the duties that they took when they signed the document.
Is that the ideal solution for you?
We think right now ideal solution is Russian to withdraw the troops from our territory and to get back to the time, to the date of 6th of August when this everything began, and to put our forces in the same position as it were in the 6th of August. We hope that this will happen soon.
Is there any other way that Russia is trying to suppress Georgia? I mean, this is horrible, but are they trying to attack you economically through the banks and things like that, as well as come in and take over your land?
Russia has been trying to blockade and to ban our products in Russia for already 2 years, and they banned the most popular sparkling water and the wine that we export to all over the world, and Russia for us was the biggest market. However, they banned our production for only 2 years right now, and we do not export almost anything to Russian Federation right now. That's really hard for our economy. And after this horrible fact, and after the war, our economy will be in much worse situation than it was before, and we think we will need a lot of assistance, financial assistance and non-financial and humanitarian assistance from different countries to help our country to stand up and fight the economic crisis that will probably be here in a couple of months.
Is there an attempt by the Georgian army to call up more people to fight, or is that the actual hand-to-hand fighting kind of over?
Can you repeat the question once more, please?
Is there a campaign by the Georgian army to call up and train more people, or is the fighting kind of over for now?
Well, right now we are not training anybody. We're seeking peace, and we're seeking ceasefire, and no military actions or movements from our side has been... I have not seen any military...
Hello? Asking about
right now, I looked up at the numbers on the internet, and the population in Russia seems to be 142 million people, while our country consists of 4.2 million people.
So incredible bullying going on here of a small country. Do you think any of the politics of the United States had anything to do with the ceasefire?
Any words from the United States?
Any of the politics or intervention from the United States government had anything to do with the ceasefire?
Sure. I think the statements made by the George Bush and by the U.S. government made a really big impact on the how this crisis and how the war went on. And I don't think that without U.S. involvement, this would be over right now. I think that Russians would have moved far, far away from the conflict region right now. And I don't think there's any stopping of the Russian forces without the United States getting involved. Because as everybody knows, our government was backing the United States and is a pro-Western, with pro-Western orientation rather than pro-Russian orientation. And we do hope that this will lead the United States and other European nations to help us out even more in this conflict.
Have you been following the speeches of our presidential hopefuls about the situation?
Yes, we have been watching TV, and this is the only source that we have right here to hear the news, because Russians have banned their television to be broadcasted in Georgia, and CNN, BBC, and other internet websites that's posting information about war and about the speeches that have been made by the officials in the United States. And we have been following it closely, and we hope, as far as we saw, every politician has expressed their gratitude and has expressed their feelings about the conflict and has backed up Georgia and has said that Russian actions are not adequate to solving the problem, and they are not aiming to solve the problem but to deepen it.
If somebody wanted to donate something to your cause, should they go through your embassy, or how's that being handled?
In the Georgia, it's really easy to donate because there are multiple places where you can donate the money and food and any clothes and any materials that you want. I'm not sure about the international donations, though. If you go to the official site of the Georgian government, I think that you will be able to find a place to donate money for the people that have moved out of their cities and out of their house because of the Russian militaries that moved in and came to our capital and now are living in the streets and are living in the schools and other facilities. They really need the assistance and the aid from the international community, and they do need lots of materials and lots of help for moral and financial support.
Most of Americans are afraid to donate through an international organization, or the Red Cross is pretty safe, or even the embassy, because we know that the stuff doesn't get to the right people. So is there some local contacts that you can give us, then we can post on the description of the show so that people who want to donate money or supplies or clothes can do it from a people-to-people perspective?
I will try to find the organizations that do that. I do know that Red Cross is gathering the donations and are trying to get some humanitarian aid in the conflict regions. And I will try to find other organizations or locals who are involved in this process and who try to help out the people that are in need. I will give you the information later on.
Okay, I want to ask a couple of political questions, and if you don't want to answer them, that's okay. But before these attacks of Russia, were the citizens of Russia leading a free life?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear the question. Can you repeat it once more?
Before the attacks from Russia, were Georgians living a free life, or was there still some suppression going on?
I couldn't hear the last part of the question. What's going on? I think it's a connection problem.
Was there suppression of the people? Are Georgian people free people?
Yes. From government or from Russian side?
From government? What was the other word you used? From your own government.
Okay, let me get to some other place. I think it's a connection problem. I can't hear you really well. Wait a second, please.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay, what I asked was, are Georgians able to live a free life before these attacks from Russia? What's it?
Well, yes, we did have as much freedom as we wanted since there was a revolution in our country about 5 years ago, and President Shevardnadze, that was pro-Russian president, was resigned, and President Saakashvili came into the head of our government. Things have been changed to good. There are lots of good things going on, even though we don't really support lots of economic issues that they're undertaking in our country. The freedom has been guaranteed to everybody pretty much, and there have been lots of disputes whether they're even pressure from the government, from the opposition that we have in our country. And the recent war and recent crisis that was in the Georgia saw us that we are all united and we have as much freedom as we want. We are all standing next to our president, and even before this crisis started, we had the opportunity to live a free life, and the economy was developing much more compared to the times of the 1990s and early 2000s.
So Georgia is a safe place to live if you didn't have Russia coming in there trying to take land and robbing and looting?
Yes, pretty much yes. We were moving towards the pro-Western democracy, and we were moving to the economic growth that we hoped for. However, this has been halted by the Russian aggression that we hope to overcome soon. And from the point of view of economics, just to let you know, recently, I think it was last year, Georgia was third in the economic development in the world, and we made a huge step forward in developing our economy and trying to get our people to live better and trying to provide everyone with the basic necessities such as natural gas and light and so on and so on.
That is incredible. You said you had been following our presidential hopefuls. When George Bush talked about this, he really felt that he was doing the right thing in his speech by saying that Russia is a bully, that Russia should not be doing this. But, you know, the people here in America see what George Bush is doing as being a bully. So we didn't quite believe what he was saying. Then we did an analysis of McCain's speech, and his speech was very slow and very hesitant, and it was almost a military response, you know, that if Russia doesn't get out of there, we'll take them out kind of thing. And then when we listened to Obama's speech, it was very upbeat, very, yes, we want to help, yes, we want to do this, here's the plan, we're going to try every way that we can to get Russia out of there, but we're going to do it in a peaceful way by showing them that military aggression is not the way to take what they want. So do you have a preference, either personally or as a country, who you think should be the next president in terms of support to Russia, to support to Georgia?
Well, that's a difficult question to answer. Personally, if I was the citizen of the United States, I do think that I would have voted for the Obama because of the politics and policies that he wants to undertake in the country, and due to his response to the Iraq and other conflict regions. However, from the standpoint of my country, I think that right now it would be more beneficial for Georgia if McCain would be the next president of the United States. This would help us out more in solving the problem than the liberal ways of Obama, for example.
So you think McCain would supply the military support where Obama would want to talk it out first? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I think. However, I don't think that military aid is the answer, but there are some other things and other actions that can be undertaken in order to stop Russian aggression. And I think the United States has lots of tools to manipulate and to make Russians understand that this is not the way that they should be treating their neighbors.
Are you allowed to name some of those things, suggest some of the things that could be done?
Well, I think first of all, this is a political think if you know recently, they have put up a defense missile shield in the Poland, and they're trying to do the same in Ukraine and in Georgia. This is one of the major tools that can resolve the problem. Another one is economic pressure. If United States will press hard on Russians, I don't think they will withstand the pressure, and I don't think it's worth for them to fight over here and to leave their militaries over here, because the economic impact will be huge.
Okay, David, you lived in the United States for a while. What is different about life in the U.S. and life in Georgia?
I've been yet in the United States. I was studying there for 2 years, and the main thing United States I like is just I gained a lot of experience, a lot of education, because you know, universities there are much better than we have in Georgia right now here. Also living alone, was also a good experience for me.
David, do you in Georgia realize that the people of the United States do not agree with President Bush's war in Iraq? We want to totally separate ourselves from that? Okay, I'll ask the question in a different way. David, you travel around Europe a lot to different countries in your job. What is the opinion of Europeans about the war in Iraq and the separation between our government and our people?
It's really hard to answer this question. I really don't know.
Do people in other countries think the United States is a bully and they shouldn't be there? Or do they think it's okay for them to be in Iraq?
I don't think so.
Okay, which part are you answering? We're having a little bit of problem because with the language here. David speaks really good English, but I think I'm asking questions in a way that it's hard for him to answer. The opinion that we have here is that a lot of us on this station, BBS, we don't want to be in this war with Iraq. It is ruining our economy and making us very poor, and we feel like we went into the war for the absolute wrong reason. There was no weapons of mass destruction. And I've probably got somebody here in the audience that doesn't agree with that. But at the same time, what is coming back here, and one of the projects we're working on, is our soldiers are coming back with a lot of injuries that aren't being attended to. And that's one of the things our research institute is trying to help with. But I just really wanted an opinion of someone outside the U.S. about how the U.S. is perceived by the world. Because this is going to be on a radio station that is pretty much against bullying policies that the United States has in some countries.
Okay, we'll have to reach shortly. Yeah. What we think and what we see around is that people have different opinions concerning the war in Iraq, and some of our citizens believe that the war was not for the democracy and was not because of the nuclear weapons that were said to be in Iraq, but was because of the economy. And because of the oil resources in Iraq. However, lots of people disagree and think that it was the only way to stop Saddam Hussein was a military action, and there was no other way to stop the tyranny in the country that was going on there for a long time. We personally believe that there could have been other approaches to the problem, economic or any other approach to the Saddam Hussein's tyranny and to the Iraq issue. We hope that this will not be the same in Iran, we hope that the approach will be different, and there will be no bloodshed and no war going on there. However, we believe and we think that what was going on in Iraq was terrible, and it needed to be stopped sooner or later by somebody, and that happened to be the United States.
What do you want by doing your YouTube, by being on our show, and thank you for doing that? What do you want the world to take away from this show? What do you want them to know? What do you want them to do?
We want the world to see the truth, because lots of media and lots of media resources are not objective in judging what's going on right here. In Russia, for example, all the media, almost 99% of the press and media, are controlled by the government, and the information that they spread and the overview that they make about the conflict is completely inadequate to what's happening. And with this video, we try to bring the information to those that collect the information and to let them know what's actually going on in the conflict region, and what help do we need and what support do we need for resolving these problems, and we hope that this will give information to those who like the information and help them to have their own opinion on what's going on.
Do you have the ability to do other films and actually show us some footage of how the town and the people are being affected, some of the damage, so we can get that on YouTube and radio too? Because your BBS radio is for the people.
Yes, sir. Well, I can provide you with the websites that show and depict the devastation and the harm that was done by the Western militaries to our country, starting from bombarding and drowning our ships, and from killing and raping the population, civilian population. And there are a couple of websites dedicated to putting this material on the web and providing it to everybody that wants. So we can forward this website to you, and you can check out those, all the information, and there's all the pictures and lots of stuff concerning to the war and concerning to the Russian aggression. I think it's sosgeorgia.org to start with, and then I will provide with some other websites. It's SOS